Hello, one and all, online and in person. Glad you're here. Glad we're here to worship our God. And we're going to begin with a few songs. And we're going to begin with a song that you may not have heard very much. But I'm trying to give everybody equal time on this song. This is more for the young at heart, okay? It's interesting that they talk about, have any of y'all seen the movie where people do interesting things to help them remember stuff, particularly when they're doing the spelling of the words? They'll tap their leg as they spell it, or they'll sway side to side. One girl learned to do the spelling competition by doing jump rope and memorizing the words. Now, the reason I said all that was because what we have learned in singing is that if you'll do motions, it makes it stick better. Now, I'm not asking you to do the motions, but I'm going to. And it's not because it hasn't stuck yet. It's because I want you to know them. And if you want to do them, if you're young at heart like me and you want to do them, then you can do them. And the motions are this: Jesus, love, bubbling over. All right, one more time. Jesus, love, bubbling over. And that's how fast this song is. All right, and this is actually a kid's song. So all you are teaching classes, if you want to know the rest of the song, I'll teach it to you, okay? We're going to sing it a couple of times.
Sing it through twice and then go over.
We've got three times on the
stage. That's because that part is sung three times and then hallelujah. And then we're going to sing three
times and hallelujah. There you go. That was my confusion. Okay, so it goes like this. Jesus,
love is bubbling over. Jesus, love is bubbling over. Jesus, love is bubbling over. Hallelujah. Jesus, love is bubbling over. Jesus, love is bubbling over. Jesus, love is bubbling over.
Surely the presence
of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face.
Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, again, we approach your throne in total humility and total understanding of who you are. And we place you on the highest place. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all the blessings that you've blessed us with. We're so thankful for all the ministries that are going on here at Central. We're so thankful for everyone who puts in so much time to make these ministries what they are. We're so thankful for Marshall and everything that he's doing for those guys out in that prison, and just remain with him and Tim and all the folks that are involved in that. And we pray for all those people out there that they'll remain steadfast and they'll just take it one day at a time and keep their spirits up as much as possible. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this place, this beautiful building that you blessed Central with, your family here in Johnson City, this nice and comfortable place that we have to meet and fellowship and enjoy visitors and have different functions. And we're so thankful for that blessing. And we're thankful for the elders and their leadership and all that. And we ask a special blessing on them as they continue to lead this congregation. Special blessing on all the ministers here also, Tim and Josh and Tim and still Craig, and just bless them in their ministries and everything that they're doing and that they're going to do. And we want to ask a special blessing on that mission trip that's coming up with the college students, with Tim and Josh, and just keep them all safe and help much good to come from it, and just help us to be as supportive of them as we possibly can from here, and pray for them daily. And we ask a special prayer also for those folks in Kentucky and just everything that they're going through, the devastation. And we just ask your blessings on all of them, and just help us to be ready and willing to do our part to support that effort. We ask a special blessing tonight on Everson as he prepares to bring us our lesson tonight, and help him to have a good remembrance of what he's prepared to say, and help all of us to be open and willing to apply the message to our lives and not just keep it to ourselves, but spread it to the world. Be with all those that are on the prayer list, all those that are dealing with physical issues, spiritual issues, emotional and mental issues, and just bless them as only you can, and bless all the doctors and nurses and everyone who's ministering to all their needs. Just bless them as you can. And we're so thankful for all the service of all the people in this world. Heavenly Father, we know that we say, do, or think things that's not in accordance with your will sometimes. And we know that we don't say things about you. We don't stand up when we should. And we ask you to forgive us of our sins and strengthen us in all the areas where we're weak. Again, be with us on through this service and on through future life. In Christ's name, amen.
I messed this one up yesterday, so I thought I'd practice and see if I could get it right. I am really trying to do songs for everybody, college kids, us older folks. And this song is more about the psalmist. And if you go outside right now, all you'll see is the sun in the sky. But if you go out later tonight, you'll see moon and stars. And the psalmist says that those things are God proclaiming there is a God in heaven. And then in Matthew chapter 5, he talks about the birds in the air. And how he takes care of that. And if he takes care of the birds, he's taking care of me and you. So there's going to be verses about the moon, the stars, birds, and music. So if you know the ladies' part, sing it. If you don't, just sing with me.
Over my head, there's stars. Thank you.
We have two songs next, and they're not connected, but they are. And this one is for the young at heart again. I'm only going to sing one verse and the chorus, so don't get excited. It's not going to go on forever. But there's a reason why I'm going to sing this song, because the next song that follows this is based on the story of Noah and the flood. So let's see what we can do with this one, and then we'll move on to the flood one. The Lord told Noah there shall be a bloody year. The Lord told Noah there shall be a bloody year. Those animals out of the bloody night, children of the Lord. So rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord.
All right.
Now that gets us to the song that follows that, and that is that God put a rainbow in the sky to remind you that even in the worst times, He still got this. He still got this.
As I journey here,
mark it in the book. It's 9:30 is going to be our invitation song, but it will be up here also.
This evening, the scripture reading will be from Acts chapter 15, verses 39 and 40. Acts 15, 39 and 40. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord.
If you're like me, and you've ever wondered why Paul chose Silas, then I hope after tonight's lesson you'll have some kind of an idea. Now, I'm talking about choosing Silas from a number of other workers in the first century. We know the story of Barnabas and John Mark and Paul and the, I guess you could call it a disagreement. And that is the primary reason he chose somebody else. But why did he choose Silas? Silas is a minor character in the Bible, or at least when you begin to talk about him or read about him in the Bible, you would say, well, there's not very much. And so we would tend to think he's a minor character. But really, there's quite a bit about Silas. You just have to really get down and read about him and sometimes read between the lines. And so tonight, we're going to talk about Silas. And I hope and pray that I'll give you some lessons to live with this week that will help you not only as a Christian man, but also a Christian woman. Now, this lesson didn't come about because of our men's day. I had started on it long before that. I had two other lessons I was kind of working on off and on. But this one just seemed to, it just wouldn't go away. It just, every time I'd put it on the back burner, it would come back. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to preach on Silas. And I'm one of the rare fathers that has the blessing of having a son that you can sometimes steal some sermons off of. And so Jeremy actually preached this sermon. And when I tell you I got it from Jeremy, for some reason or other, he and I were talking about it, and Silas came up, and he just ran through two or three points that he had used, and that was enough for me. And I said, Jeremy, where do you get these ideas? Jeremy has he's very talented in picking out his sermons and making a everyday application out of them. And we talk about sermons, we talk about baseball, we talk about hunting and fishing and just about anything you can think of, we'll talk about. And we usually talk twice a week. And so I'm really encouraging him he's working on his doctorate now at Liberty University, and I'm encouraging him to stay in the area of preaching. And I trust that you will pray along with me for that, because he does have a talent, and we need more preachers today. So if you'll help me out there, I'd sure appreciate it. But don't tell him. If there's somebody listening from West End, that's a very real possibility. They'll probably run and tell him, but don't you be a big mouth and go tell him what I asked you to do for me. Now, enough of that. If you know me well, you know when I get up to preach a sermon, I start right in. I don't do a lot of lollygagging around. And let me get on to that. But I've always been interested in Silas. I've always known about him. I've always known that he was this companion of Paul. But it gave me a chance to take a second look at him. And I hope it will give you a chance this evening. You see, men like Silas are very rare, even in the Church of Christ. And so I hope that when we finish this evening, you'll look at the life of Silas and pattern some of your activities after him. I think one of the first things I want to say about him is that Silas was a trusted leader. He was somebody in the ancient world and in the early church that you could count on. Look at Acts chapter 15 with me, if you would, please. You know, chapter 15 is one of the more important chapters in the book of Acts, I believe. Chapter 15, you'll remember as what we sometimes call, the Bible doesn't call it this, but what we today sometimes call the Jerusalem Conference. What had happened is some men from Jerusalem had gone down to Antioch, and they were talking to Christians with a Gentile background. And they created a lot of confusion when they said to these Gentile Christians, men and women who had been Gentiles and had become Christians, and they caused a lot of confusion when they told these Gentile Christians that not only did they have to be repent and confess and be baptized, but they also had to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised. And so you can imagine what kind of turmoil that caused in the Gentile church in Antioch. And there would have been a lot of Gentiles there because Antioch was the center of Gentile Christianity. It was a jumping off point for the missionaries to go into the Gentile world to preach the gospel. And so these, later on, we'll call them Judaizers, had created a lot of confusion. Well, this came back to the elders at Jerusalem, and they had to deal with this problem. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas were also connected with this. And so they had, the early church in Jerusalem had a meeting of the elders of Paul and Barnabas and some leading men among the Christians at this time. Well, one of those leading men was a fellow named Silas. A leading man in the ancient church was just that. He was a leader. He was somebody you could count on for counsel in spiritual matters. He was somebody who you could trust with very important deeds or tasks. And that brings us to Silas. The Bible begins here in let me get over to 15. I'm sorry, I thought it was there. In chapter 15, the conflict over circumcision, and then the Jerusalem council. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter, and they went through it. Brother James, we think the Lord's half-brother, had an important part in this meeting and made an important speech. But as you get near to the end of this, what they decided to do was write a letter to the Gentile Christians in Antioch and straighten this matter out. You know, it's sometimes it's very good to write a letter about things like this, sometimes it's not. And I feel sure this was the matter, this was the judgment of the elders to do this. Somewhere in West Virginia, there may be a letter that I helped write about some important matter among the churches there that I wished I'd have never had any part of. But at that time, I was 18 years old. Now I'm 74 years old. But it's not always best to write a letter, but you know, more than half of the New Testament is in written letter form. And so that's something to commend us for writing letters, making sure we get it all down on paper. But the elders went one step further than that here in Jerusalem. They wrote the letter, the apostles and the elders and these leading men, and they decided to send somebody to deliver this letter personally. It's probably one of the most important letters in the New Testament. But they asked Paul and Barnabas and a fellow named Judas and a Christian man named Silas to take this letter down to Antioch and read it there to the Gentile Christians. And I'm not going to read through the letter. It just simply says you don't have to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised in order to be a Christian. You know what it is to become a Christian. And after this letter, they were for sure what it was to become a Christian. And so the Bible says in verse 30, so they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. They viewed this as a very encouraging letter. And Paul and Barnabas and Judas and Silas, they were there when the letter was read to answer questions and to elaborate on anything that anybody was concerned about when they read this letter from the elders and the apostles in Jerusalem. And the Bible says there was this encouragement from not only the letter, but from the men who delivered the letter. Now Judas and Silas themselves being prophets. Well, now there you learn something about Silas you probably didn't know, and that is he was a prophet. I never knew Silas was a prophet. A prophet was somebody who could preach a sermon that would chill you to your very bones. But part of their work was also to encourage people. And that's what Silas and Judas are doing here. They're encouraging these people as well-known prophets in the ancient church, because we've already learned that Judas and Silas were leading men. That is, they were leaders in the early church. And that's the reason the elders wanted them to go with Paul and Barnabas down to Antioch. They were not necessarily like the apostles. They were not like the elders. They were more like you and I. They were from among the people, but they were leading men. They were leaders, men who the early church looked up to. And so when they got down there to fulfill this task requested of them by the elders in Jerusalem, they could be very encouraging. And the Bible says they exhorted and strengthened the brethren here in this church in Antioch with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles that's in Jerusalem. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. And it seems as though Paul and Barnabas remained there for a while. But you see, what I'm getting at here is that the church needs the kind of men that we can entrust these important tasks, be able to take care of them. Just like delivering this very important letter in such an excellent way, we need men today, men of God, like Silas, like Judas, who can take upon their shoulders the most important task for the Church of Christ today. And there are many, many tasks like that. And so, gentlemen, you need to develop yourselves so you can do the more important things that the Lord wants us to do in this day and age. And ladies, you need to become faithful women of God who can be helpmeets to these kind of men. Silas was that kind of person. You can entrust him with a significant letter, probably one of the most significant letters in all of the Bible. Silas was a man, you could give him a job and he would carry it through. He would do it well. You want to know why Brother Jeff was so impressed with the organization of the men's day yesterday? You know, he commented on it this morning. I'll tell you why. Because we don't have that kind of organization in all the churches. Our elders can take our deacons and give them a task, let them know what kind of money they have, and set them out to accomplish that task. And just like Silas, they come home as a shining star. You don't see that in all the churches of Christ. In fact, I would say there are very few that can carry out tasks that organized. And that's the reason that he mentioned it in his sermon this morning. And being one who has worked with several churches in many different states, I can tell you from firsthand experience that you don't see that very often. When I asked Sister Brenda about the Women's Day with Cindy Colley, I said, well, how did things go? And she said, Everson, it was amazing. Says, all I had to do was just mention doing something, and there was some lady right there on the spot, some woman who just heard me say it, and then off they went to take care of that task. This is a congregation that is very unusual in that the preacher doesn't find himself doing those kinds of tasks. But he's left to the more important things of prayer and preaching and studying the word of the Lord. We are well organized here, and that goes back to our elders, and we should be very thankful that it's that way, because we can have such great activities. So the next time you get a chance, I don't know whether I should say go up and hug one of the elders' neck, but you most certainly feel free to tell them how much you appreciate their leadership. And the young preachers that are here, Josh and Tim, you guys have a chance every day to go to a seminar to see how well these men lead. And young men, all my young Silases out here, you have a great chance to watch leadership, good leadership in action. And I once heard Brother Guyon Woods, who was a very famous scholar among us, say he felt the most important thing the church needed today and in his day and now in mine, and that is people who want to be encouraging, solid, able to take on the hard task, leaders. And it's going to be as important tomorrow as it is today. Secondly, I sometimes call Silas the happy warrior. When I was a young man, there was a politician by the name of Hubert Humphrey. Humphrey was a Minnesota senator, and he ran for president, but he was known among Democrats as the happy warrior. And I had some of my family in West Virginia, and they were very close to him and helped him with his campaigns when he came in to run in the primary there in West Virginia. I always wanted to meet him. I thought he was an interesting person, but they called him the happy warrior. You could very well call Silas the happy warrior of the Bible. Do you remember Acts 16, where the Philippian jailer was converted to Christ? Do you remember what caused Paul and Silas to be in jail? There was this maiden, and she had a spirit. I think it was fortune-telling is what she actually had. And she followed Paul and Silas around while they were preaching there in Philippi for days, saying, these are men of the Most High God. Their message is a message of salvation. And finally, it came to the point where it was overbearing. And Paul and Silas cast that evil spirit out of her. Well, there were some men in Philippi, and they were making money off of this. And so they got real mad, and they stirred up the people against Paul and Silas. It ended up that the magistrate of the city helped a mob tear off their garments and beat them with a whip or with a club, and then threw them into what the Bible calls the innermost part of the jail. There was a fellow a few years ago by the name of Nelson Mandela. And he led the fight against prejudice in South Africa. Well, in 1964, Nelson Mandela was thrown into Robben Prison. Robben Prison was just off the coast of Cape Town, South Africa. In 1968, I was a student at Fried Hardeman. The first heart transplant was performed while I was a student there. One of the guys in my class was from Cape Town, South Africa. And I always thought Africa was this backward place, but here in Cape Town, the first heart transplant. Well, a few years before that, Mandela was thrown into prison, Rabin Prison, which is very much like some of the worst prisons that we have in our country today. But then again, maybe not even close to what we have today. Nelson Mandela, in his biography, A Long Walk, followed, said that you don't really tell a country by how they treat the rich and famous, but you tell a country by how they treat the less fortunate, like men who were thrown into a prison of this nature. And so Mandela spent some 24 years in that prison. Think of that. A country where the first heart transplant was performed, and what they did to Nelson Mandela for his courage to stand for prejudice against people because their skin was a different color. It's an amazing story. But I say that to let you know that when the Bible talks about the inner prison here that Paul and Barnabas were thrown into, that it was no place that you'd want to be. Rats, cockroaches, the filth, the sadness, the depression. That's what these men were up against when they were thrown in jail for this crime of helping a young woman. And so here we see them in Acts chapter 16, and they're in stocks. It's midnight, and did you ever wonder why it was midnight? I think it's because it took them such a long time to recover from the beatings that they received from the magistrate and the citizens there in Philippi. And so here we see them in prison, the filth, the discouragement from, well, we're doing the will of God. We ended up in prison. Now, it wasn't that way. After they recovered their spirit, they recovered their strength, at midnight, they begin to pray and sing. Now, the idea here is when they were praying, that was like public worship. And when they were singing praise to God for all of his blessings and his greatness. And you say, well, how in the world could they do that? Well, Paul and Silas were special men. They were very special servants of God. And it's almost like that there's this joyful tone to these hymns and prayers that they're, it seems to me, the prayers were public prayers out loud. And all of this was being heard by the prisoners. I can bet you that they never heard anything like this while they were in the inner prison. But they did when Paul and Silas were there. My happy warrior, Silas and Paul, but here they were singing these hymns of praise, joyful hymns to God, probably came from the Psalms because the Psalms are noted for certain Psalms that are very joyful and were used in worship. And in prison, these men were listening to them. Now, I'm not sure that the jailer was hearing of any of this, but this is the atmosphere that we have, and it's unusual in that really Paul and Silas were done an injustice, and yet their spirit was a happy one. It was a joyful one. We need men and women like Silas who can undergo some of the more difficult things in life and still come away with a happy spirit and praise God and pray to God and turn things over to God. And that's exactly what these two men did. You know, Mandela, in speaking of his prison experiences and how terrible they were, he and other prisoners actually used music in the prison to keep their spirits up. Now, it wasn't hymns of praise to God, but nevertheless, it was music. You know, we can say things by setting them to music, things that we would not normally say in everyday language. And for the last five or six times, I've noticed that in this congregation, when we sing, that it just kind of starts at the back and explodes. I don't know whether you've noticed that or not. And I'm sure it has something to do with our song leaders. I'm sure it has something to do with the people who attend church here. But I'm really sure that it has to do with your willingness to praise God and make sure that we make God feel like the God of the universe. Things coming from our lips. And that's being like Silas. And we need to do the best that we can do to become happy warriors for the Lord. And we have a big head start on it. I am always amazed at how well men can sing by themselves. Now, we don't want to lose you women. We want you to be in the singing services too. But yesterday the singing was absolutely marvelous. And every time I've heard a group of men like this sing, I think of the happy warrior Silas and Paul and what they went through here in this Roman jail. They were true men of God, and we need more men like them. And then one more passage. Here we're talking about a guy who led the early church, who was well known for that, who was a prophet, who the elders of Jerusalem chose for a very important task. And in every instance, he came through as a shining star. But here's one that I think is particularly poignant. In 1 Peter chapter 5, let me get over here to it. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse, let's see, am I in 1 Peter chapter 5? No, I'm not. Let's see, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. Listen to what Peter said here about Silas. By Silvanus, now that is a different name that Silas was known by in the first century. Silvanus, we think, was a Latin name. We think Silas was a Greek name. Silas and Silvanus both had to do with trees or the forest. I don't know why that is. It's just that way. But isn't that indicative of the kind of man Silas was? Men of God everywhere, stand up and be counted. Be like a tree, a great tree in the forest. But verse 12, by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. By Silvanus, our faithful brother. Silas is somebody that Peter counted on. This is 1 Peter. You know, Silas not only served Paul, but he also served Peter. And what the Bible says here about him, he is writing this letter. Peter is telling him what to say, and he's writing it down. The official word for that is an amanuensis. And Peter says, by Silas, our faithful brother. Silas is loyal. That's what the word faithful here means. Silas can be depended on. Silas is the kind of guy that you can cross a river with and he won't run away in the middle of the river. He stands true to the task, and he's right here helping me to write this letter. We think what he did is he copied what Peter wanted to say down, and then he went back and reorganized it in the fashion that you and I have it today. That's how important Silas was to the Apostle Peter. You know, we need people that we can count on, men that we can count on. This was the theme of the young man's lesson from Morristown, Blaine, who is a good friend of my son. My son and Blaine talk a lot, and he did a great job. And the whole idea was we need men that we can trust. And he began the lesson by talking about all of the mistrust in our world today and how important it is for men of God to be men we can trust. Well, Silas was a man that you could trust. And the Apostle Peter leaned upon him heavily for his assistance in writing this great letter, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. Well, there you have it. I challenge you, men. I challenge you to become the kind of person that Silas was. Trustworthy, encouraging, get the job done, and it was good to be around him. You know, when Barnabas went one way and took Mark, and Paul went the other way and took Silas, you know, I'm just not sure that would have been fun for me if I were going with Paul, knowing the difficulties that had happened with Mark. But still, Paul chose Silas, and what a great choice that was. My friends, to serve the Lord, though, you must start this way. You must start so at the bottom, so to speak, and that is by becoming a Christian. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Be willing to confess that faith before men. Be willing to repent of your sins. And most important of all, be baptized into Christ. For that is how you come into contact with the blood of Jesus. My friends, if your faith has grown, you've grown weary of your faith, you're not doing things the way you want to do them, we'd be glad to pray for you and help you to get that straightened out this evening. Won't you please come, whatever your wish is, while we stand and sing.
Jesus, the loving shepherd, is in life for me. Tenderly now he's calling, wanderer, come to me. Haste for without his danger, come Christ the shepherd blessed. Enter the fold of safety, enter the place of rest. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he, wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting there, standing I see, Jesus, my shepherd divine. Jesus, the loving shepherd, calleth me now to come into the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. Come in the strength of manhood, come in the warmth of youth. Enter the fold of safety, enter the way of truth. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he, wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting there, standing I see, Jesus, my shepherd divine.
If you would, stay standing. We're going to sing a verse of a song for the Lord's Supper. and then somebody will come up and lead that part of our service. 387. Tell of
the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Say, let me weep while you whisper, love made the ransom for me.
In a Bible class this morning, we were talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. And Luke uses an interesting word. It says, when the time for his departure was at hand, when they'd gathered for his departure. The Greek word there is Exodus. And I was thinking about that a little bit, and I was going through, there are a lot of obvious connections between what Jesus ultimately did and the Exodus account. But one of the most incredible accounts for me is in John chapter 13. And it says, just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that his time had come to depart from this world to the Father. And so I don't know about you, but when I'm in front of a situation that I know is going to be tough, I often think about me. How I'm feeling. I think about what are the ramifications of this, and I get kind of caught up in the moment. I can't sometimes see the forest for the tree. But Jesus doesn't respond that way. Knowing his time for departure was at hand, knowing that he was going to go back to the Father, verse 1, having loved his own who were in the world, he now loved them to the very end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, that he should betray Jesus. Because Jesus knew that the Father had handed all things over to him, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he got up from the meal, removed his outer clothes, took a towel, and he tied it around himself. He poured water into the wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel that he had wrapped around himself. Jesus didn't throw himself a pity party. He didn't get so caught up in the moment that he couldn't think about anyone else. Instead, he did exactly what he had come here to do. That was so indicative of the kind of God that we serve. And that is, he said, let me serve you. And so as we partake of the bread, think about the life that Jesus lived. Think about the life that he gave up. One that was completely wrapped up in others, more so than himself. And the greatest demonstration of that, of course, was on the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the life that your Son lived. He was and He is so thoughtful. And Father, in a very, very dark hour, when He knew the time was right at hand, He took that as an opportunity to serve and to teach. And Lord, we thank You for the lesson. We thank You for the lesson of Him washing the feet of the disciples, and we thank You for the lesson of Him going to the cross. And Father, we know that in Him going to that cross, we know that we can't do this on our own. We can't save ourselves. And so, Father, as we partake of this bread, help us to remember that it was because we couldn't do it for ourselves that He came and He took our place. And it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's also pray for the fruit of the vine. Father, we also thank You so much for the fruit of the vine that represents the blood of Your Son. Because, Father, we know that in the Passover, we know that that was just pointing towards what Your Son would do. We know that those potentially millions of animal sacrifices couldn't do what the one sacrifice of Your Son could. And Father, we know that because of the fall, that sin had to be taken care of, and it had to be taken care of by blood. Father, we thank You for the mercy that You extended to Adam and Eve. And Lord, we thank You for the mercy that You extend to us now as we remember what Your Son did for us in giving His blood. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. We also now have an opportunity to give back for those that couldn't this morning. There are baskets in the back. There's also a way to give online, and of course, you can send it through the mail as well. But let's pray now for that offering. Father, thank You for the physical means that You provide for us. And Father, we know that You continue to provide for those needs that we have physically because You already provided for the harder one, and that is the spiritual. Father, help us to continue to seek first the kingdom of God. And Father, those things that You have added to us, we pray that we will give back with a cheerful heart. And Father, we pray that every penny that goes into the treasury, we pray that You will magnify it to where we can continue to do a lot of really, really good work in this area. Father, we thank You for the elders who oversee. We thank You for the deacons and all those that serve. And Father, we pray for wisdom for those that use the funds, that they may be used wisely. And it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
We're going to close with a song. for the people who have had bombs dropped on them, people who've lost their lives in the floods and the fires. And so we're going to sing a song of God Come By Here for them, for the people who are crying, and then just for us, for Him to come and touch our lives.
Someone's crying, Lord, move thy love. Someone's crying, Lord, move thy love. Someone's crying, Lord, move thy love.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you so much for this weekend we've had. We thank you for the men's day yesterday, for the worship we are blessed to have today, Lord. We thank you so much for all those men who are able to preach your word so well. We thank you for a lesson tonight, Lord. Help us to be those Christians that others can count on, that we keep our word and that we're there through the times when people are hurting, through the hard times, and that we can manage to sing and praise you through those times, Lord. Father, we pray for all those who are hurting in the area, Lord, throughout the world, but especially right now we're thinking of those up in Kentucky and Virginia where the floods have been. Help us to be a light unto them. Help us to help those congregations that are working up there, and help us to be a light to that area. And Lord, just let us know what we need to do and let us have the strength to do it. Father, we thank you so much, especially for your Son, came to this earth, who was the ultimate service and the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, Lord. And we pray that we can honor that sacrifice, that we will go out into the world and show the love that you have given us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Are there any announcements? Then we are dismissed.